believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Happens to be May 13th, 2009. Thanks for tuning in, sharing your morning with me. So I got a couple emails about the rants and raves of yesterday, and I got to tell you, folks, it's just the way I feel. I have a couple of friends of mine staying at the house for a couple of weeks, a couple of guys down in southern Nevada doing a little bit of work, and they're from Idaho, and Idaho has a great set of gun laws there. Very independent type of state. As a matter of fact, if you remember, I reported maybe 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago possibly, that the state legislature of Idaho sent a letter to the United States Congress advising them that they would tolerate absolutely no shenanigans when it came to any proposed anti-gun measures going through Capitol Hill, either house. They were going to have absolutely none of it. Matter of fact, in the same letter, they invoked their Ninth and Tenth Amendment privileges and said that we as this state will abide by our laws when it comes to that, because the Second Amendment guarantees freedom of the people to keep and bear arms. And that is up to the people of Idaho to decide, and we as the representatives of those people have decided that they're going to keep that right, and you're not going to infringe upon it. So be aware, don't do it. Very good, solid state. Anyhow, these two friends are down. We were talking, you know, quite a bit about guns and gun laws and what's going on. And everybody seems to be rather intrigued when it comes to the laws that was passed in Montana, talking about the state gun rights for a gun that's made in the state and stays in the state and what their laws are. And, of course, Texas has looked at this, and Utah said, well, we'll consider it after they test bed it a little bit. We're going to pre-set up some legislation. The only thing is that one of my friends from Idaho said was, I just wish they'd gone a little bit further and included Class 3 full auto guns in that deal. Well, they included suppressors in it. So what he's saying is if in Montana they should have included that they could have fully automatic guns as well. We talked about it a little bit. I wasn't entirely convinced of that only for one reason and one reason only. I've told you before a couple of times, I am a five weapons range master. That includes fully automatic submachine guns and, machine guns like M16, like shoulder mounted machine guns, not like these belt fed things and such. That's really kind of out of the realm of self defense. But in the hands of the average person, unless they give it quite a bit of training, a fully automatic gun. Now, a submachine gun shoots a pistol caliber round. A machine gun shoots a rifle caliber round. In the hands of the average person, firing a gun that goes between 500 and 1,100 rounds per minute, that's a little too much for the average person to actually use. It takes a lot more training. So then there's a lot more Rule 4 issues with the rounds going downrange into who knows what and who knows where. Good for suppressive fire, however, that's not something that's probably really going to happen unless it's on the field of battle, an open field of battle, which we're not really going to be facing here in the United States. It's one of these years where you need a lot of training. So I'm not too against that, because then there'd have to be extra legislation on training and such. Anyhow, send me your comments, bill@2aradio.com. Let me know what you think, and we'll carry on with this little bit of debate. And stick around after the break. We'll be right back.
Your right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443. Uncle Sam's
out in the shoot, maybe a little too well. Okay, so here is a letter that is circling throughout the internet. I have no idea the veracity of it, but I like it nonetheless. It's entitled, "I sent this letter to President Obama today concerning his Homeland Security report. Did they really think this report wouldn't get into public hands?" Here's the letter. And again, I don't know the veracity of this letter or not. Dear Mr. President, I always figured I was just an ordinary guy, but after reading your Department of Homeland Security's assessment on right-wing extremism, I realized there's something sinister about me that's escaped my attention for too many years. Having now been duly educated, I feel it's my duty as a conscientious American to put myself on report for a veritable litany of nefarious and obvious anti-American views and actions. I should have suspected something fishy way back in 1966 when, for some reason, I can't fully explain, except to chalk it up to misguided patriotism, I volunteered for the United States Marine Corps instead of burning my draft card and fleeing to Canada. What was I thinking? For the next 20 years, I confessed to continuing in that capacity, all the while gathering skills and knowledge that, quote, have the potential to boost the capabilities of extremists. To this day, I retain marked proficiency with small arms. I might even own a firearm, but that's none of the government's business. In your report on the bottom of page 2, you define right-wing extremism to include those who reject federal authority in favor of state or local authority. Guilty as charged. I confess, not only do I own a copy of the U.S. Constitution, I've actually read the darn thing, and that will probably make it rougher on me in court, right? Here's the worst part. I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Now, to my knowledge, that oath didn't have an expiration date, but I'm pretty sure it encompassed both the Second and Tenth Amendments. I'm also indicted under that same footnote for believing that we shouldn't kill the unborn or allow folks from who knows where to wander willy-nilly back and forth across our nation's border. I never had a problem with anyone from any country, no matter their race or religion, coming to the U.S. legally as long as they agree to respect and abide by our laws. I now see that those were some incredibly radical views. Thank you for opening my eyes with your report. Okay, I need to confess something. Although it wasn't specifically cited in your report, I suspect you simply overlooked this, so I'll fess up to it anyways. I harbor the absolute incendiary view that men who father babies should have to pay for those babies and women who aren't married shouldn't be having said babies. Quick, lock me up. Page 3 and 4 talk about us right-wing extremists who are antagonistic towards the new presidential administration's perceived stance on a range of issues, including immigration and citizenship, the expansion of social programs to minorities, and restrictions on firearms ownerships and use. The report also cites related racial prejudice and concerns of the election to the first African-American president. I'm not sure what to do with this. I do oppose many of your administration's policies. The ones you've enacted thus far are the antithesis of almost everything I believe in. Personal responsibility, smaller government, respect for the Constitution, fair and impartial taxation, not wealth redistribution, and the unwavering belief that America was, is, and always will be the greatest nation in the world, with no need to apologize to anyone for all we've sacrificed in blood and treasure to keep our country free. On that radical thing, does it count against me if I simply don't care about our president's race or gender? I kind of thought those identity pieces weren't part of the decision process. But now I'm confused because so many on the left suggest to criticize you means that I'm a racist. Oops, there I go, identifying myself as a white guy. Now I'm really in trouble, a white middle-aged male veteran. There's a demographic that's always been a thorn in the side of true Americans. Maybe we should gather ourselves up and put ourselves in re-education camp. Uh-oh, was that a reference to a conspiracy theory? Here's the absolute worst part. You won't believe this. I'm also a Christian. Yep, right there, on page 4. No radical Muslims, no aggressive atheists, not even a hyped-up Hindu, just those darned Christian identity organizations, according to your report. What would Jesus do? The fact is, I honestly don't know. But I believe he'd want me to remember you and all our political leaders in my prayers every night, so that's what I do. I guess that's really over the top. Will it mean no cable in my jail cell? On a serious note, the entire report is an amateuristic, irresponsible attempt to paint anyone who opposes your policy with a broad and illegitimate brush. This report went out to all law enforcement agencies throughout the country, federal, state, and local, and tribal, without any actionable intelligence or suggestion of illegal activity. The report refers to domestic right-wing terrorists, but if I'm not mistaken, in order to be considered a terrorist, wouldn't they first have to commit a terrorist act? And if they did, shouldn't they be arrested? If indeed there aren't any right-wing terrorists, left-wing terrorists, or wing-ding terrorists in this country, how about telling your Secretary of Homeland Security to go arrest them? If they've done anything to warrant arrest, can you accurately call them terrorists? I'm sorry. If they've done nothing to warrant an arrest, can you actually call them terrorists? I realize the political bounce you generate by releasing scathing but nonspecific, broad-brushed accusations that lump all your political foes under the terrorist umbrella. But do you really think we'd buy it? The opening line of your report begins, "The DHS Office of Intelligence and Analysis has no specific information that domestic right-wing terrorists are currently planning acts of violence." In that line, sir, should end your report. In that line, you should end your report. Everything beyond that is pure political hype. If DHS has an actionable threat, then by all means, get it out there to law enforcement and take action. However, if people are simply gathering in the streets, holding up signs, and waving teabags, I suggest you get used to it. Sincerely, Jeff Andrews. P.S. That part about the report about hoarding ammunition and food, just so I know, how many bullets and how much broccoli can I safely accumulate before you guys consider it hoarding? I think some DHS guidelines would be helpful here. And P.P.S. Nice job on the pirates. Okay. With that being said, I'm going to play for you a call that I made on the air to Department of Homeland Security last month.
Department of Homeland Security, can you please hold?
Holding.
Thank you for holding. How can I help you?
Hello, I'm calling in regards to the April 7th release of the DHS assessment report of the right-wing extremism.
Yes.
I've read that assessment in its entirety and have concluded that I would most certainly be considered a right-wing extremist within the outline of that report. I'm calling today to, in effect, have my name added to the list of so-called right-wing extremists as outlined by that assessment.
This is the Department of Homeland Security public comment line. This is a voice mailbox. Please do not leave information regarding suspicious items or activities in this mailbox. Please dial 1-866-347-2423 with information regarding suspicious items or activities.
Hello, I am calling in regards to the April 7th release of the DHS assessment report of right-wing extremism. I've read that assessment in its entirety and have concluded that I would most certainly be considered a right-wing extremist within the outline of that report. I'm calling today to, in effect, have my name added to the so-called right-wing extremist list as outlined in that assessment so I can be sure that my name and other pertinent information is recorded correctly. I was transferred to this voicemail from a live person. Therefore, I don't want to leave it just with any normal voicemail. If you guys could maybe set up a link on the DHS.gov website so that myself and other alleged right-wing extremists can actually get our information on there correctly. That would be great if you could put out a press release. That would be wonderful once that's done so that we can all sign up. Or if you prefer, we can set up an independent website for that information and send the link to you. Either way, some sort of press release or announcement on your government website would be wonderful. I'll be checking that daily just to see that. Thank you. Now, with that being said, that was a recording of a call that I made about three weeks ago. One of your fellow listeners has secured the domain name imonjanetslist.com, and he's been in transit of moving from one state to another and working on this site in the meantime. It will be up soon. You'll be able to go on there, put your first and last name and your home city and state, and then I'm going to call back to DHS on the line, and I'm going to let them know, hey, you guys can go to this site. The right-wing extremists are signing up. And we're also going to have people of history on there, including the signers of the Declaration of Independence, the drafters of the United States Constitution, many former presidents of the United States, and military leaders throughout history of the United States, people who by all means and actions in our history would be considered right-wing extremists. Included on there is going to be Senator Joseph McCarthy, who ran the communists out of North America for the most part. However, those like-minded people are back. We call them the presidential administration. Stick around. More after the break.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
Okay. I'm going to read your story in just a moment here. And this story comes from Expert Click. All right. Just to preface something real quick. The United States has gone further into socialism in the last 5 months than in any other combined period of time in history. By this, what I mean is the U.S. government is buying out industry. They're buying out industry, and now the U.S. government has a piece of the action in the financial sectors. Obviously, the owning of homes with the mortgage bailout, now in vehicles. So the U.S. government is part owner. If you have a mortgage, the U.S. government owns part of your loan. So they own part of the property that you live on. They own a good portion of the transportation sector now, having given money to the major car manufacturers. There's a lot going on here to where the government's now buying into all this stuff. That's called socialism, right? So let me read to you just a little bit of information here, which means it's taken a little bit further. Obama targets American sovereignty to undermine citizens' gun owners, warns Washington senior rights activists. Yeah, so this is out of Washington, D.C. At a time when research data indicates Americans are more pro-gun than in many years, the Obama administration is trying to do an end run around the American public by committing the United States to an international arms treaty, enabling Washington to undercut the individual Second Amendment civil rights to keep and bear arms, says John M. Snyder, as he charged on Monday, May 11th, just 2 days ago. Shotgun News recently named Snyder the senior rights activist in Washington. Although 50% or a little bit more of Americans have favored stricter gun controls in recent years, according to Gallup polling, the new CNN Opinion Research Corporation combined poll shows a dramatic drop to only 39% now favoring such legislation. A Pew Research survey more or less confirms this, he added. Snyder said that into this situation, Obama proposes that the Senate ratify the proposed Inter-American Convention Against the Illicit Manufacturing of and Tracking in firearms, ammunition, explosives, and other rated material, other related materials, known as the CIFTA. If ratified, Washington would commit the United States to adopt the necessary legislative or other measures to establish a criminal offense under their domestic laws of the illicit manufacturing of and trafficking in firearms, ammunition, explosives, and other related materials. In other words, Obama would commit the country and our people to follow the policies set not by Americans for Americans, but by International Convention for Americans. This would lead to a setting of parameters for American arms producers and consumers. It would lead to determination of American gun rights, not by Americans, but by international convention. It would undercut American sovereignty and a heinous attempt to undermine American gun rights. Snyder pointed out that about 90 million Americans own about 200 million rifles, shotguns, and handguns. Americans are buying between one and one half million guns per month, according to an analysis of FBI criminal background checks for firearms purchases. It's time for tens of millions of Americans to let their senators know in no certain terms that they do not support the CIFTA treaty ratification. Okay? Hear ye. Absolute hear ye. Now, you can go to 2aradio.com and forward a letter that I have written to your senators. Follow the link, and then you can forward it. Let me see if I have enough time to get through this before the break. Dear Senator, I'm writing to you today to voice my opposition to President Obama's call for the U.S. Senate to ratify the Clinton-era Organization of American States Treaty on Firearms Trafficking, known by its Spanish initials as CIFTA. During President Obama's visit last week with Mexican President Calderon, President Obama falsely spoke of the alleged 90% of firearms confiscated from Mexican drug cartels as originating from the United States. He is certainly not alone in severely misrepresenting these percentages, as his cabinet members have already been misleading the American public on the issue for months now. In the two-year period of 2007 to 2008, you know what, I'm going to get through all that because we're going to run up on the break here in about a minute and get down to the brass tacks of this. Hence, it is international corruption within the Mexican government and gun trafficking from Mexico's southern border and ports that provide the overwhelming majority of the illegal arms trade, certainly not through virtually non-existent straw purchases of American citizens from legitimate federally licensed gun dealers here in the United States. Even so, the total number of those guns is roughly 2,560 annually. It is most certainly not the 2,000 guns allegedly smuggled daily from U.S. straw purchases south into Mexico, as claimed by Arturo Sakuran, Mexico's ambassador to the U.S. I strongly urge you to resist this matter, even being introduced to the Senate floor. If it does come up for a vote, please respect the wishes of the majority of Americans and vote against the ratification of this misaligned CIFTA treaty. Sincerely, sign your name and send it to your senator. We'll be back after the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, listen to the 2A radio show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back from the break. Okay, we're going to go into some information on the Second Amendment March, tentatively scheduled for April 19th, 2010, next year, so about 11 months from now. Here we go. In January 2009, Michigan-based author and Second Amendment advocate Skip Coirel received an email from a woman in Belgium, great beer, by the way, describing the helplessness she and her coworkers felt when a knife-wielding attacker terrorized the daycare facility where she worked. As in many European countries, victims at that facility were disarmed at the mercy of their attackers' thanks to the country's draconian gun control laws. Determining to not let things progress that far here, Coral decided to do something about it. This is the beginning of a period of historic change in our nation's history, and it is no time for the timid, said Coral. This is a time for brave men and women to stand up and be counted. We want our children to inherit the same freedom our forefathers knew. Freedom has to be protected or it will fail. We are at a crossroads. The time is to act is now. With that, Coral began laying the groundwork for the Second Amendment March, tentatively scheduled for April 19, 2010, which includes networking with other gun rights groups and activists. The Michigan Coalition for Responsible Gun Owners, of which Coral is a member, was one of his earliest supporters. Soon after work began, rock personality and Second Amendment champion Ted Nugent promised a fire-breathing, star-spangled banner eruption in support of the event. With that, Coral has continued to build support for the march and announced a series of town hall meetings and similar statewide marches which would lead up to the event. Many supporters have joined the Second Amendment March Foundation forums and signed up for their email list. Organizations interested in serving as coordinators for their town hall meetings or statewide marches can also apply to the SAM website. Also available are a Twitter feed and Facebook page for the latest update news. All right, latest updated news available on Twitter and Facebook. This is a fire in the bellies of activists organizing and promoting this movement. But what is the message that we're trying to convey? As listed on the SAM website, just go to secondamendmentmarch.org. secondamendmentmarch.org. The mission of the Second Amendment March is to galvanize the courage and resolve of Americans to petition our elected officials against establishing anti-gun legislation and to remind America that the Second Amendment is necessary to maintain our right to self-defense. It is the one right that protects all others. We will accomplish our mission by a peaceful march in Washington, D.C., the United States Capitol, supported by satellite marches to state capitals and smaller cities all across America. That comes right from the Second Amendment March website. The time for rhetoric is past, and now that it's the time to act. Everyone who loves freedom in this country and who believes that the right to keep and bear arms is not some relic of the past should step together and march forward to show the anti-gun politicians that these rights are not up for grabs to be voted on or signed away to fulfill their own agenda. If you're at all able, you should make plans to attend the National March, one of the statewide local events, or open your wallets and support the cause with a donation. There are an estimated 80 million gun owners in America, in this country, in the United States of America, and we need to stand together and be heard. No more gun bans, no more draconian concealed carry restrictions, no more harassment by police for legally carrying a firearm, no more victim disarmament, no more infringements, period. Together, we can send a clear message to begin a rollback 100 plus years of gun control. So that's information coming out of the Second Amendment March. So, in effect, that'll be a redress of grievances when it comes to anti-gun legislation. I am a big fan of the line in the sand with this. That being that with the redress of grievances, we also stand up and tell the government, here is our line in the sand. This is what the Constitution says. This is how it's been interpreted and reinforced by the Supreme Court of the United States. Therefore, any attempt to circumvent the Constitution or the intent of the Supreme Court's decision will be considered a line in the sand where you, the government, all-powerful, however, not all-powerful against the American people, will meet a potential line in the sand where we will not tolerate it. You may be faced with a second American Revolution. Now, that's my idea to promote to these guys and see what they think about it at Second Amendment March. So I've had people ask me, you know, what do you think, if there were actually a second American Revolution, wouldn't that be tough to deal with when it comes to all the police and all the military that could be called up for this? Well, I don't know, because they're Americans too. Matter of fact, if you go to YouTube, you can actually see different things on there where different police and military members and folks who stand up for organizations of military members or police officers would actually say, no, our organization's not going to do that. We're not going to follow anything that is an unconstitutional law because we swore to uphold and defend the Constitution. Now, of course, as we talked about last week, that doesn't mean that many people who ever take that oath have ever even read the Constitution. That's what I think sucks. Right here on this broadcast desk, you can hear this, right? You hear this? That is a copy of the Constitution. It's always right next to me. I have another one on my nightstand at home that my daughter got for me, a very nice one. So as I broadcast out of this studio, as Dave Champion broadcasts out of this studio, and keep in mind his show is right here on RBN, 3 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday. We have this Constitution right here. I flip through this thing regularly. My opening show, I open this thing up. The first thing I did on the air on 2A Radio was read the Second Amendment right out of this same book. I'm pretty familiar with this thing, and I don't just read the Second Amendment. All right, I read the whole thing. All right? It's rather interesting because people will be holding up their right hand in their air and swearing to uphold and defend this Constitution, and I don't know what it is. Well, the people who do, that are members of law enforcement, members of military, aren't necessarily going to stand up on behalf of the government to try to put down the American people who are exercising their constitutional rights. Here's another little story for you. Bigger government has become the bane it was always feared to be. Today, tens of millions are experiencing what our founding fathers faced and defeated in forming this country to escape from tyranny. Today, our government proactively disparages citizens to divide people. It is writing new laws to punish people like you and me. It has even gotten to the point where law enforcement reports and warnings disparage patriotic citizens back to the cabinet officer who sent them. Other military and police have stated publicly they will not obey orders to confiscate food, weapons, or other items against both the Constitution of the United States and the public interest. Listen to this. You can go to an internet search and search this term, Oath Keepers, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Examiner Daniel White reports an interesting event scheduled for April 2010. It's called the Second Amendment March. Between now and the March next year, every household must think of our adversely changing political environment and how this will impact the safety and independence of our families. Here's a quote. Though the household may know that they need to know about what they need to know about life insurance, accidents, root canal, food costs, and the price of a gallon of gas, just how the household will prepare to meet, manage, and survive in an encounter with violent crime is the most neglected area of household management. Imagine that. Here's more. The armed citizen has a tremendous impact on protecting not only self and loved ones, but also liberty and the sovereign's monopoly on lethal force in this country. That would be you and me. As the sovereign, we have the oversight and authority over police, the military, and Congress, not to mention little governments here and there. This is a tremendous threat to our freedoms when that sovereignty is challenged by our own public servants and backed by the force of police and military such as we ourselves grant them from one election to the next. The armed citizen and our liberty on all levels are inextricably bound only when they are armed and respected as the sovereign. What we are witnessing in 2009 is a profound disgrace and disrespect for our sovereign authority, and millions outside of those 80 million gun owners have begun to notice this. Before you refuse to own a gun, You might like to know what it is about guns that draws more than 80 million Americans and is drawing more every day. My first series here at Examiner is What Is About Guns Isn't Even About Guns. That's the name of it. What Is It About Guns Isn't Even About Guns. And that lays it out. And put it simply, it is about carrying our own burdens and not relinquishing the carrying of those to others. Right? Before you refuse to own a gun, you might ask why officials are so vicious about gun ownership of 80 million Americans who are not committing crimes with guns or without guns. As a citizen about to make an important decision for yourself and your family, the place to start would be why officials want to take guns, overregulate them, or mess with our civilian ammunition supply. Before you refuse to own a gun, you'll probably want to look your kids in the eye and know that without official respect for the electorate today, your children will live under complete dependency on the government of tomorrow. The kind of person who owns a gun prefers to rise to the obligations of the sovereign in this country as only individuals can. The kind of official who frustrates this authority wants to be the sovereign over you. And this is how gun control profoundly affects non-gun owner Americans. Before you refuse to own a gun, you need to see clearly that our war is not to fight crime by disarming you. It's to fight independence by disarming you. Liberty is under attack because we are the sovereign. The move is on to convince people that guns, not independence, is dangerous. That's coming out of the government. Independence from our servants is not dangerous for citizens. It's what America is all about. This is what gun control is all about. Imagine that. It's not about the guns, it's about control. Have you heard this before? This has been my mantra since we started 2A Radio. This has been the mantra of many people who understand where the gun controllers come from. It's not about the guns, it's about the control. In the last century, in the 20th century, from 1900 through the year 2000, the beginning of the year 2000, estimated 100 million disarmed citizens were murdered by their government in that 100-year period. That is a million people per year on average. Now, sometimes there is a lot more, sometimes there is a lot less. But that's 100 million people in 100 years. All right? If you divide a million per year on the average by 365 days a year, you come up with over 2,700 people a day on average over an entire century disarmed citizens were murdered by their government throughout the world for an entire century. 2,739 people. Now, keep in a little leap year here and there. About 2,735 people or so per day. So you got to tell me that these people that say gun control works, gun control works, gun control works, gun control works to the point of where across the world in the last century, over 2,700 people a day were executed by their government because they did not have the right to keep and bear arms. On average, every single day for a century, 2,700 people murdered. So the anti-gunners thought, their whole misguided perception of disarmed people are safer. You tell them that statistics show, and you can go to JFPO, Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. They have these statistics. They will show you what countries, what years, how many people. JFPO.org, I believe, is the website. And you can look at their spreadsheet that they have listed on their website. And you cannot argue with facts of history. So anytime some anti-gunner comes to you and tells you it's a safer society without guns, you tell them, go to jfpo.org and look at it. Because in the 20th century, an average of just over 2,700 people per day, every single day of the week, of the year, of the month, of the entire century, were killed, disarmed citizens, by their government. Now, you tell me, 2,700 people a day plus, that's what gun control does. Innocent, disarmed civilians. This wasn't even by crime. This is by their governments. Do you really think that our government is so trustworthy that we could give up all the guns and allow them to secure our freedom? It's no longer up to us. It's up to them. Supreme Court already says it's not up to any government agency. So then they could say, okay, yeah, we'll keep you safe. And then they take the guns. They say, by the way, Supreme Court says we don't have to keep you safe. You're on your own. But you better listen to us because we got all the guns now. If you take the guns away from the people, only criminals will have the guns. That includes the criminals within the government. These are the same scumbags that take payoffs and fly in the face of American interest for money. These are criminals in office that have just passed laws that are loopholes for them to do what they want to do. So stick that in your pipe and smoke it. And enjoy the flavor, that bitter, nasty flavor. Stick around through the break.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The two-way radio show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
All right, guys, welcome back from the break. We've got a caller on the line, Isaac from Colorado. You're on 2A Radio.
Hey, Bill, how's it going?
It's going well.
Hey, I didn't know if you covered this, but I just wanted to mention about Henry Kissinger's comment to Medvedev about by September we'll have confiscated all privately owned guns. Have you read anything about that?
I've not read it on the air. I'm trying to do a little bit more research to find out if, in fact, he actually said that.
Yeah, well, it says he's alleged to have said it. But the thing is, they're not, in my opinion anyways, they're not going to use American troops and American law enforcement to confiscate guns. What they're going to do is use foreign troops. And I believe that's what the national level exercise in July is all about. It's about international cooperation, because they already know that the American troops are not going to, you know, fight against Americans. They already know that.
You've got to realize this. If there were foreign troops on this soil doing things against the Constitution, members of the military and law enforcement would be obliged by their oath to stop them, and I flat guarantee it. I absolutely will.
Hold on, Isaac.
I will flat guarantee you this. If foreign troops start coming to my door, I will go down in a blaze of glory against them. They will not come on my soil and take anything of mine or my countrymen.
Well, that's good to be a martyr, but I'm telling you right now, they already are on our soil. They're already doing cooperative exercises in Florida, in different states. They're already doing that.
They always do that. They're always here. When I was a contractor for Department of Defense, we constantly had foreign friendly nations doing exercises on American soil.
Right,
fine.
But that's what
The thing is, though, is are they violating the Constitution or our rights doing it? Right now they're not, but at the moment that they do, you can only imagine what would happen in this country. You can only imagine the firestorm that would go down.
But the thing is, they're recruiting people into the military who have been dumbed down, who don't know the Constitution, who don't know, they're just blindly following orders. And that's what they're looking for. They're looking for people to recruit into these positions of law enforcement and military that are just blindly following orders. They'll do whatever they're told to do.
Well, that's unfortunate for those few, because those who actually would blindly do that and follow an order that's illegal, that they know whether or not they want to realize it or have the gumption to do anything about it is fine, because they're going to go down. That's my opinion. Thanks for the call, by the way, Isaac. I appreciate you listening every day and sending in your emails as well. If any foreign entities enter onto United States soil and act under the behest of the government, of our governmental leaders, the ones we freely elect into office, and they do something against our Constitution and try to take away our guns or anything such as that, I can only imagine the bloodbath that would happen. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. I want to thank you for spending your morning with me. Check out 2aradio.com and email me from there.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.